trying to scare you here, but the dead can hear you. As any psychic medium will tell you, they are actually still around. Some people are more sensitive to this than others and can see, hear, or sense the deceased more easily. But no matter who you are, if you want to speak to your beloveds who have passed, you can. They will get the message. And I promise it doesn't have to feel scary. On this week's Own Your Intuition show, we'll be talking about communication with your beloved departeds, otherwise known as your deceased relatives and friends, and how you might expect to hear from them.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing. That internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Hi, welcome. I want to start out by giving a shout out to those of you who have reached out telling me stories of the ways in which you've been applying and recognizing your intuition in your life from hearing the show. Specifically, I'm thinking of Tara and her story about how after my suggestion in episode 7 that you ask your intuition to guide you to a perhaps unexpected soul-satisfying experience, her evening rearranged itself and provided a connection with girlfriends that she didn't see coming but felt so good. I also want to say, regarding this episode, that you may want to share it with someone in your life who has lost someone special to them. You're about to see why. It's October. This is the time of year that I think of as the ancestor month. Halloween is right around the corner. Mexico's Day of the Dead is also. The natural world is dying. The leaves are changing. The earth is starting to go dormant, reminding us that it is soon time to go inside and hibernate. The outside world is participating in and reminding us again of the cycle of death and rebirth. Well, the rebirth part comes in the spring. In many traditions, they say the veil is thin this time of year, meaning it is easier to communicate with those who are no longer living. This month, I'm going to talk about spirit guides, including animal guides, sometimes known as pets. But it seemed only fitting to kick off the topic with speaking about our beloved departeds, otherwise known as your dead friends and relatives, or ancestors. Also, depending, sometimes referred to as ghosts. I'm not trying to scare you here, but the dead can hear you. As any psychic medium will tell you, they are actually still around or can be. A psychic medium is someone who specializes in speaking to the dead and passing on messages from them. Some people are more sensitive to this than others and can see, hear, or sense the deceased more easily. Some of them are psychic mediums for a living. But I'd say more of those who are sensitive to the unseen are not professional psychic mediums. They are people like me and you. You likely know someone who has this ability. It's not really spoken of a lot because people think it's weird or scary, and so people don't talk about it. So though someone you know might have this ability, they may not have mentioned it to you ever. They may even have been discouraged in their childhood from paying attention to it. However, no matter who you are, whether you easily sense the unseen or not, if you want to speak to your beloveds who have passed, you can. Anyone can. And they will get the message. Furthermore, they can also speak with or to you. There are many ways they can do this, and we'll delve into some of those in this episode. The first and probably most common way that they do so is by interacting with the world you are living in. Let me tell you one of my all-time favorite stories of this. In September of 2015, one of my husband and I's closest friends, a man named Andy Royer, died of cancer. Andy was a very fun-loving, goofy, and adventure-loving guy. In fact, in some ways, he was the impetus of the gathering that we have every September on our island called Stupid Bike Night, which happens every first Friday in September. So if you live on Vashon Island and you've interacted with Stupid Bike Night, you have in some way been touched by the life of Andy Royer. Every year on this night, someone we know rides a blue banana seat bike with a faded pink furry seat, which was Andy's childhood bike, to commemorate in honor Andy's absence and his presence. That's a different story, though. I could actually tell you lots of funny stories about Andy and his antics while alive, but this is a story about Andy interacting with us after he died. At the time Andy died, our kids were very little. My son was 4 and my daughter 2. So it happened that we had this Playmobil farm set in our house. It was this hard plastic barn that had all these different places for animals to be housed. It came with animals, too. But what the barn notably included was animal sounds. For example, when you opened the outside pen, you would hear the sound of a sheep bleating. Bah! The funny thing about this barn was that it was very reactive. It talked all the time. We would open the door to the playroom and the sheep would bleat. It often went off when no human was around or touching it in any way. During those years, it was just part of the soundtrack of our lives. One evening, I was sitting in our living room with my husband and our friend Sean. My husband and Sean were two of Andy's closest friends. I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but I do remember it was kind of a serious subject, and both my husband and Sean were giving their serious opinions on the matter. But what happened was, each time either Sean or my husband would open their mouths, all of a sudden, the farm would go moo. I could tell right away it was Andy weighing in on the conversation. How did I know it was him? I could feel it. It felt like he was in the room. And what was happening was totally absurd and goofy, just like Andy. And in this case, it had never happened before. That thing used to go off all of the time. but it was always the sheep sound. That was how Andy got our attention. He knew the sheep went off. He had been in our living room many a time when that thing had bleated, usually for no apparent reason. This time, to make his point and to make himself known, for the first time ever, the cow was mooing. But though there were three of us in the conversation, it only mooed when Jason, my husband, or Sean spoke. To my memory, that was also the only time the cow spoke up on its own, ever. It was super funny. By the end, we were all laughing so hard. We finished the conversation with something like, "Okay, Andy, we hear you." So, as in this example, a lot of times your beloved departeds will speak to you using things earthside, like in Andy's case, in that moment, a Playmobil farm set. They will put something in front of you, something or experience that reminds you of them, or something they would say or do. The moment usually feels poignant, like out of the ordinary or significant in some way. And if you're sensitive to such things, or if you simply pay attention, you can almost palpably feel their presence. This is Aimée Cartier, and you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Today, we are exploring the topic of communicating with and receiving communication from our beloved departeds, or our deceased friends and relatives, otherwise known as ancestors. In my own life, most often the visits I receive from my beloved deceased are really just about reminding me of our connection, affirming the love we shared, or in some cases, commentary on what is happening, like Andy's moo example. It usually just has this warm feeling of getting to spend time with someone you love and hardly ever get to see. Depending on who the visit is from, it can also just be wildly entertaining, especially if your beloved was a jokester. I have another absurd example. I was once invited by psychic medium John Holland to attend one of his shows in Seattle at Benaroya Hall. It was fascinating. There's an audience full of people, and from the stage, John starts saying things like, "I have a man here, grandfather figure, who died of something going wrong with his lungs. His person is over here in this part of the audience," he would say, pointing. When someone raised their hand, John would give a few more identifying characteristics to confirm that this is their person, and would then pass on whatever message the departed wanted to pass on. I wasn't one of the people that he passed messages to during the event, but afterward, when I went up to speak to him, he started telling me that my grandfather was near. By way of confirming, John gave me some details about my brother and what was happening for him at the moment. He said my grandfather was telling him that my brother was doing some sort of house renovation. My grandfather gave John that information by providing the sensation of smelling some paint fumes. I can't actually remember what message John gave me from my grandfather that evening. Something nice and heartwarming. But I do remember something that happened on the way home that just confirms the warm feeling I had that my grandfather was near. On the way home from John Holland's show, as I pulled onto the ferry dock to wait for my boat, I noticed that I was behind a car with the craziest bumper sticker. It said something like, "Farts happen." When I looked at it, I did a double take. I was like, "What? Does that bumper sticker really say farts happen?" Right then, I knew it was my grandfather. It was like a little shout out from him saying hello and confirming that his jokester self was still around. I should probably explain that a bit. My grandfather didn't have a thing with farts, but he did have a thing with absurd jokes that I never thought were funny, like said bumper sticker. He was a total jokester, always. He and I teased each other relentlessly, even when I was very little. He had a penchant for telling jokes that were not even that funny and yet always made you laugh because of his delivery. This was his unique style. He would tell some silly joke, and as he was telling it, he would start to laugh at his own joke. His jokes were corny, like dumb puns. I almost inevitably responded with, "Gramps, that is not even funny." But that wouldn't stop him. My grandfather would always laugh at his own jokes. I remember once sitting on my grandparents' deck with my mom and my grandma. I was an adult. My grandfather told a joke that was not funny. He started laughing. He kept laughing. He kept laughing some more. When he laughed, his whole body would shake and his shoulders would shrug up and down in response. And he was sitting there laughing so hard, so long at a joke that was seriously not funny, that eventually we all started to laugh at him. Even though I most certainly told him how not funny his joke was, I also ended his joke telling by peeing my pants. I was laughing so hard. We all were. We were all breathless and literally doubled over in laughter. Not at the joke, but at him and his laughter. So, when I pulled up behind this car that had the most absurd bumper sticker ever, so much so that I was like, "Wait, does that car really say that?" In that instance, I knew it for what it was. A sign from my grandfather that he was still there and teasing me. Because that is what we did to each other, always. Another time, years after my grandfather died, I got a call from my aunt who said, "I just got a postcard in the mail that you sent to Grandpa 7 years ago. I had sent it to him when I lived in France." As she read it to me, I knew my grandfather was at work here. The first line said, "Happy birthday, Gramps. Sorry I'm late." My aunt and I were dying of laughter. When she read it to me, I knew he was responsible for that postcard being found and sent. It was so late, he wasn't even celebrating birthdays anymore. It was his ethereal wink at me, just like the ones he used to do in person. And it was also enjoyed by my aunt, who happened to be the forwarding address on my grandparents' long closed P.O. box. We got such a kick out of it. It was like Gramps up to his old tricks. One thing to note when you are communicating with your beloved departeds is that your people will always act more or less like they did in life. My grandfather was a jokester. So was Andy. They often continue to interact with me in some way like that. So it's a bit mysterious if you think on it too hard, but I find the dead can modify or manipulate or organize the waking world in some way. I have no idea how it would be that my grandfather would have coordinated that most hideous, unfunny bumper sticker in front of me. But I could actually hear him laughing in my mind as I sat there doing my double take. I actually took a picture of it. It was that absurd. I was like, I've got to document this happening. Somehow it felt like if I didn't, it might not even really be there. It might just be a trick he was playing. I still have the image as proof of that moment. I can also just imagine my grandfather somehow tickling the nose of some postal worker in France or doing some such thing to cause them to bend down and discover the postcard that has been years stuck in a crack somewhere. The worker then fetched it out without even looking at the date and plopped it in the mail. I don't know. I'm making that part up. But I can sense loud and clearly that my grandfather was behind its arrival and was laughing at my expense and with me, just like he did in life, at just how late I was for his birthday. 7 years late for that one in particular, and many years beyond any birthday celebrations of his. Like I said, most of the time, the appearance of my beloved departed's is really just a nod to our connection and a reminder that they are not really gone. Not really. Sometimes, though, they will give you specific messages, too. Also related to our friend Andy, around the time when he passed, we saw owls all of the time. So several of us, including Andy's wife, Candace, used to think of Andy when we saw owls. It was another way he spoke to us and confirmed his transition, but presence. When Candace was getting ready to sell the house that she, Andy, and their girls lived in, an owl appeared perched on a tree right overhead while Candace was standing outside speaking with some potential buyers. We all considered it Andy giving his blessings. And as soon as she told me, I knew it was that couple who would be buying the house. The woman of that couple, who Andy blessed, also happened to be the daughter of one of our friends. So Andy gave a special nudge in their direction. Sometimes the deceased will pass messages, like Andy did that day with the owl confirming the best choice and his blessing for the house sale. Once I had a dream about my grandfather, the same jokester. His name was Roy. He died in May of 2002. In the dream, he had my mom's head in his lap and was stroking her hair. When I told my mom about it over the phone, she gasped. I never asked her what it meant to her, but I could tell that it meant something. From her expression, my instinct was that she was moving through something tough at the time, and my grandfather comforting her and me relaying that message that he was there for her and caring for her was significant to her in that moment. Sometimes people have an animal or symbol that reminds them of their beloved deceased person, like the owl for Andy, and seeing that simply gives them confirmation that their beloved is still there, looking out for them or present in their lives. The day after I decided to tell this story on today's episode of Andy and the Owl, as I was driving down the road in the morning at 8 a.m., an owl flew down from a tree on one side of the road, passed just over and in front of my car, and landed in a tree on the other side of the street. I felt it as a good job. Yep, still here. From Andy about telling these stories. So pay attention to these signs you receive from your departeds. They mean something to you. If you think it's them talking to you, it is. Enjoy the ethereal high five or hug. It's a good thing. You are listening to the Own Your Intuition show with Aimé Cartier. So how do you speak with the dead? Do you need an interpreter or a Ouija board? Remember those. Or a psychic medium? You don't. I want to say for clarity's sake, I love those who do psychic medium work. I really feel it is such an important job passing the living messages that they need to hear from their departeds. Though it's not my specialty or niche, and don't come to me for this, it sometimes happens that while I'm doing a reading, a deceased being will stop by to say something. To this day, the most memorable for me was a client's sister. As we were finishing the reading, I heard her sister say, "You've got to take it by the balls, Kathy." I repeated the message verbatim, even though it was something I personally would never have said to my client. And my client was like, "Oh my God, that's so my sister." We were both still giggling about it as we hung up the phone. So I want to be clear to you that you absolutely do not need to be a professional psychic to communicate with your beloveds, nor do you need an interpreter. I also would like to point out that when I heard my client's sister say that, in this case, maybe especially because I didn't know her sister, I didn't hear a specific voice with these words. The words sounded in my head in my own thinking voice. I just knew it was her sister because I had already sensed her sister's presence. And in this case, because those were words I would never think to use in this situation. The words just dropped in. What is true for you too is that all you need to communicate with your ancestors is your mind. Also important to know that with your mind, you can say the things you need to say to your deceased ones. All the things. It can be quite healing, especially if you never got the chance to sit down with your beloved and say the things you needed to while they were still in the flesh. Also, for the record, you can even tell them you are mad at them. They are perfectly able to hear that. You don't have to baby step around whatever feelings you have. You can and should be honest. They can hear it all. So if your dad was a real jerk and he needs some telling off for some of his actions while alive, go for it. It's totally fine. Extremely healing, actually, for both parties. If healing is needed, your departeds are totally willing to be a part of that process if it is helpful to you, especially if it is something that they caused that needs healing. There are other ways you can communicate with them too that are sometimes useful. For example, you can write them letters. They will receive the communication. Say prayers, light incense, those are other possibilities. You can burn your letters to them and send the thoughts up to the ethers in the smoke if that moves you, but you don't have to. They will get the messages either way. You can honor them or rail at them in whatever way feels right and or appropriate to you, your life, your relationship with them, and your healing. Love is of paramount importance to those who are gone. That means they are available to receive or listen to whatever is necessary for you to help you move back to that space of love with yourself, others, or the world. You can also ask them for help. They are happy to assist. In fact, as with your benevolent ethereal guides, who are not always people you knew in life and are a subject that we will delve into next week, your asking makes their helping a lot easier. I usually caution my Intuition University students that, generally speaking, the deceased are skilled at the things they were skilled at in life. So, for example, if your grandmother was a financial disaster, I don't recommend you asking her for help to sort out your finances. They are far less limited in their ethereal form than they were in human form, hence the reason why they can manipulate the postal system in a foreign country, for example. But it's important to remember that your deceased have more or less the same general personality and gifts as they did in life. Before my grandfather Roy died, I told him I was going to be counting on him to look out for me. The first confirmation of that came while I was at his funeral. I was sitting in one of the back rooms of a church waiting to go out and speak at his funeral when I got a phone call on my cell phone. It was a company offering me a job. Because of the timing of the phone call and offer, I knew it was a wink from him, letting me know he was on the job. He was also a successful entrepreneur in his life, so his assist in this manner, or his nod at least, was no surprise to me. In my own Your Intuition program, I always teach a class on communicating and receiving support from your guides. Your beloved departeds can be, but aren't always, a part of your spirit guide team. Once, when I was teaching this, I had a student ask me why I didn't teach making an ancestor altar as an important part of this process, to which I replied, because it's not necessary. I don't want my students to think that they need this elaborate setup in order to speak with their ancestors, when all you need is your mind. Your interest in creating or even time to create an altar may ebb and flow in life. At least it has in mine. I don't want any students of mine or any of you thinking that you can't speak to your beloved grandmother if you haven't made an altar or set up a shelf of things that remind you of her. I love making altars for my ancestors, but to be honest, I find I only really do it once a year in October. If you have a more robust altar making practice, that's wonderful, but it is not necessary in order to communicate with them. One important thing to remember about your communication is that you are in charge. If it frightens you, or it feels to be too much, or someone shows up who you don't want to speak with, then simply tell them that you are not available and that they are not welcome there. You can say it in your mind or out loud. If it scares you, tell them to back off. I am so comfortable with the unseen that it rarely frightens me. To me, I guess it's just normal that there are unseens around us. But it is important for you to know that when it comes to communication with the deceased or ethereal beings, you make the rules, not them. They will respect whatever stipulations you put up. You call the shots. So you can make sure that your communication is in a way that feels comfortable to you. As I've said many times already, you can speak to your beloveds as easy as you can have a thought. Quite literally, all you need to do is address them in your mind and they will hear you. Gramps, I'm counting on you to help me find a great job, for example. You can also interact with them, honor or call their presence in a myriad of ways. You will know which ways are most meaningful to you. My grandfather, I know I'm talking about him so much today. I feel like you all know Roy Elvin Stanley now. He used to make chocolate pie at most holidays. I loved his chocolate pies. Essentially, chocolate pie is chocolate pudding in a store-bought graham cracker crust. After he passed, I used to make it at holidays myself. One, because I loved it. Two, because it's fantastically easy to make and I hate cooking. And three, because it always made me think about him. I don't make it anymore because my son is allergic to sugar and the rest of us can't eat wheat. But making things that remind you of your deceased, doing things they love to do, these are all ways of connecting with your beloveds. I saw an Instagram post recently by a man named Day Schilderkret. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm sorry, Day. He wrote a book called Hello, Goodbye, 75 rituals for times of loss, celebration, and change. I'll put a link in the show notes to it and to his Instagram account, Morning Altars. In honor of his dad's birthday, he recently made an altar or a mandala with Little Debbie's, that dessert, because those were his dad's favorite. His dad has been gone 12 years. He said in his post, "I didn't just put the Little Debbie's in a circle. Each one I laid down became an opportunity to remember something forgotten about my dad. As I did this, I spoke out loud, imagining him listening and smiling." He said memories of his dad surfaced while doing so. Day went on to say that these were moments, these memories that had been hidden for some time and just needed a special window of ritual to emerge. By the end, he felt blessed and like he had just spent intimate time with his dad, who had been gone more than a decade. Your interacting with them can be that dedicated, spacious, or complex, or it can be simple. I got a text from my mom recently on my grandfather's birthday. She said she was making pancakes. Pancakes remind her of my grandfather, because when she was growing up, every Saturday night, his night to cook, he would make his wife and his six children pancakes for dinner. Making them was my mother's way of connecting, remembering him and his birth and his significance in her life. Our friend Andy used to use his phone and have someone take a panoramic shot. At the beginning of the picture, he would be standing there on the left side, and then while the camera was moving, he would move to the last place in the photo, so it would appear as though he was doubled in the photo. Two Andys, one on the left and one on the right. Thinking of him this year on our vacation, I did the same thing. It's also perhaps useful to know that the dead frequently show up at places they would have been in life. So, for example, I always feel Andy's presence on or around Stupid Bike Night and all of our preparations for it, because he would have been there if alive. Someone also always brings the fixings for this drink one of our friends named after him, called the Bamboo Broker. It's rye and lemonade. Andy, in life, was a bamboo broker. He traveled to China regularly, hand-picked pristine bamboo for fly fishing rods, and sold it stateside. And this drink happened to be invented accidentally during his bachelor party boys' weekend due to lack of other ingredients. Now it's a tradition among our friends. We always toast him, and of course his banana seat bike rides in our parade. This year we have plans to get a license plate with his name for said banana seat bike for the next first Friday in September 2023 ride. This is psychic and author Aimé Cartier, and you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Today, we are exploring the topic of communicating with and receiving communication from our deceased friends and relatives, otherwise known as ancestors. Another way that your dead friends and relatives can easily connect with you is through dreams. No matter how long it's been since they died, I still have dreams of and with my deceased loved ones. I've seen them all, both grandmothers, grandfathers, my cousin Shannon, Uncle Rick, and Andy. Some more than others, as is relative to the strength of our bond in life. I can't will these on demand, meaning I can't say, "Gramps, visit me tonight," and he'll appear in my dreams that evening. I suppose he's got a full schedule. Just kidding. But I still see him there from time to time. After my cousin Shannon died in December of 1997, I had many dreams of her right after her passing. In one of those dreams, myself and my family was trying to process her death. She was there in the dream, but although I was distraught and bawling, She was calm and collected, peaceful. When I spoke to her in the dream, she said to me, "I'll always be here, just like you are seeing me right now. You can always find me." True to form, since Shannon died, I have seen her many times over the years in my dreams. Most often, when my beloved departed appear in dreams, the message is just that they are there. It's comforting. My grandfather always oozes love for me. And though, depending on the dream, not a lot may happen, I wake up feeling like I have just been sitting in his presence. It's comforting and wonderful to see him again. Excepting right after Shannon died, when I feel like she was still in this process of transition, as we all were at her sudden passing, most of the time when I get visits from the dead in my dreams, they do not speak. They may do something or show me something or give me something, relaying messages in that fashion, but they don't talk. For me, that's one of the ways I know it was a visitation from them, not just a conjecture of my mind seeing them. Frequently, in my dreams of the dead, at least in the years close to their death, I exclaim something in the dream like, "Grandma, what are you doing here? You're dead." The response is usually a silent smile or a nod or a blink of acknowledgement, nothing more. So, if your beloveds are appearing to you in your dreams, bask in it. Enjoy their presence. That's most likely why they are there, to connect to you, to pass you the message that though you can't always see them, they are here. If you can palpably sense their presence, hear their voice in your mind, or feel that something is happening right now that is reminding you of them or being caused by them, it is. No question. So, in honor of what I think of as Ancestor Month, maybe you want to make a little something or do a little something like Day did, or just spend some time talking about your loved ones with others. This time of year, Halloween, Samhain, Day of the Dead, they say the veil is thin. It is easier to communicate with the other side. But the truth is, it's always possible. Whether you can hear your loved one's voice or not, they can hear you. Remembering this is sometimes very useful for the healing of the living. So, say what you need to. If you are moved to, make a date to spend some time with them and your memories of them. Write them a letter. Make a special dish they loved. Do something they enjoyed doing. Ask them to accompany you on a walk or give you a sign of their presence. Maybe you want to do similar to what they do in Mexico and set out treats for your beloveds who have passed. Or set them a seat at the dinner table one evening and share memories and stories of them. Maybe you want to just pay special attention for or to a particular moment or experience that feels significant, otherworldly, or out of time, and know for certain in your heart that it is a message from your beloved beyond the grave. Either way, whether it's today or next month, they wish you to know that they are available and still loving you from the beyond. Okay, so send a shout out on Instagram or Facebook or on my website if you have any experiences you'd like to share. I love hearing from you. And join me next week where we will be talking more about spirit guides, or what I call your benevolent ethereal team. We'll be talking about different ways of working with them and maybe some surprising things that they are good for helping you with, if you ask. This is Aimée Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Thank you for being here with me today. I hope you liked what you heard. Did your grandfather show up after you listened to this episode? Did mine? Just kidding. He won't. I don't think. I'd love to hear about your fun experiences. Remember, you're in charge. And as always, feel free to pass this episode on if you've got a friend who's lost someone or who you know would benefit from hearing that communicating with their beloved is only a thought away. Also, as always, take a moment, if you would, to like the Own Your Intuition show where you get your podcasts. It makes a difference. Thank you for showing the love. If you feel inspired to harness more of your intuition, I've got a free audio for you entitled, What is Intuition? How to Tell the Difference Between the Voice of Your Intuition and Your Fear-Based Ideas. You can find the link in the show notes.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.